Well, it's one of the few times I stepped into the pulpit sweating already, at least out of my head. I usually get nervous sweats, but that's different. Oh, I desire your prayers tonight. Woo. Hallelujah. How many people come to church tonight expecting something from the Lord? Amen. This will go over a lot better if everybody gets ready for a move of God. That be all right? That is all right. It's nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me or nothing to do with anything I've got, but I'd like to see a move of God tonight. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost come down among us and help and touch and bless. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Go ahead and be turning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Read a very familiar scripture. Very familiar portion of scriptures. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 42. If you have it, say amen. Wait a minute then. All right, 1 Samuel 17, 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. If the Lord help me tonight, just for a little while, I want to preach on what David knew. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us? Father, God, I come before you tonight, Lord, asking for your anointing. God, asking for the Holy Ghost to move in this service, Lord, like he already has, God. For the Holy Ghost to come down and dwell among us, Lord, and encourage hearts and uplift broken spirits, God. Lord, would you give us the confidence to claim the blessing in your name, God. Lord, the things that you have for us that are there for the taking, God. Don't let the devil discourage us and dissuade us from getting what you've got for us in this service tonight, God. Move and meet us on these altars. We ask it all in your heavenly name. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Actually, I got this message, and preachers are odd people, most of them, and I'm maybe odder than most, more odd than most, and I was driving home one day from work. I always take Conway Road over there. If anybody knows where Conway is, I was coming around through Conway Road. And as you come around a little curve there, there's a sharp curve. And I come around that curve and there was a goose in the road. Big old goose. I mean, a big one. And that goose was standing there in the road. And as soon as I come over that little hill and around that curve, that goose, I thought, well, he's fixing to get out of the way. But instead, he spread his wings out. And he started honking at me and hissing at me. And here I was in a Silverado or in a GMC Sierra pickup truck. And I got off the side of the road to get around him. He was pecking at my tire and throwing his head at me. And I got around him. I thought, what in the world is wrong with that crazy goose? What's he thinking? You know, I'm 15 times his size. He stretched his wings out, making himself look big, but he was just a goose. And so I drove on a little further, and I felt like the Lord began to talk with me and began to deal with me about a message, because I started thinking, I thought, you know, and like I said, I'm a little odd, but I started thinking, what does that goose know? What if there's something he knows that I don't know? Because when I look at it, there's no reason for that goose to be at all confident that he could take me on in my pickup truck. And I thought, what if he knows something I don't know? What if there's some little bit of information that I'm not aware of that this goose knows? And I know it sounds crazy, but as I begin to think that, I feel like the Lord began to deal with me about David and Goliath. He began to talk to me about David and Goliath. So here was David. He was just a youth, the Bible says. And Goliath was a man of war from his youth. Amen. Here was David. He was a ruddy lad. Here was Goliath. He was a giant who stood 6 cubits and a span. Now, you can argue all day about how tall that was, but most people think he was somewhere over 9 feet tall. He was a giant of a man. And really, in the physical sense of it, Brother Jeff, there was no reason for David to be confident in his ability to win the battle whatsoever. There was no reason that David should have ever stepped out on that battlefield as confident as he was. But David stepped out there full of confidence, full of knowledge. He was stepping out there with just a sling and a sword, no armor, no nothing. David went walking out there. And I just wonder, maybe, and this is just me, but I just wonder if somewhere in the back of Goliath's mind, he didn't stop and think, now wait a second, what does this guy know? Why in the world is he so confident? Can I preach to you tonight? We're living in a wicked world. We're living in a world that's getting more and more wicked every day. We're living in a world that if the world had their way, Brother Jeff, they'd wipe us out. If the world had their way, if the devil had his way, we'd be destroyed. And they outnumber us greatly. And if I just sat back and thought about it for a while, I'd get mighty discouraged. If I just sat back and thought about just the common sense aspect of it, I might get pretty upset. But I'll tell you what, I'm not discouraged in my heart. I'm not worried in my spirit. I'm not cast down in my soul. Why? Because I think I know something that the world don't know. Glory be to God. Woo! Amen. What did David know? What did he know? First thing we got to look at, I desire your prayers tonight. My voice may not be very strong, so I need the Lord to help me. But before we can look at what he knew, the first thing we have to look at is what he didn't know. For the Bible tells us that he came to the battlefield bringing his brother some food. His brothers, he was bringing them some food. And as he was there, just happenstance, and while he was there, that Philistine stepped out and began to rail against Israel, began to blaspheme against the God of Israel. And the Bible tells us that David didn't know who he was because he had to turn around to his brothers. He said, who is this Philistine that would deny the armies of he should defy the armies of the living God? David didn't know who Goliath was, but he soon set about finding out just who Goliath was. Amen? And if we're going to win the battle, the first thing that we're going to have to do is know the enemy. Amen? We're going to have to know who we're up against. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We've got to know him. We've got to look out for him. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul was saying, don't be ignorant of what the devil's going to do. Don't be caught off guard. Don't be taken unawares. He's a wicked devil. He's a mean devil, and he'll take you down if he can. He also said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to know the enemy. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to scare you tonight, but I assure you that the devil knows you. I can assure you that the devil is aware of who you are. Look in the Bible, if you look at the story of Job, the Bible says that Satan came before the Lord. He came before him, I don't know why or how, but he came before him and began to talk to him. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now, the devil didn't have to stop and say, "Wait a minute, I got to go check out and see who Job is." He didn't have to look in his record book and figure out who Job was. He knew who Job was. He knew everything about his life. He knew exactly what had happened. He knew his wealth. He knew his family. And he knew the hedge that the Lord had put around him. He was already aware of who Job was. The devil knows who you are. He does. He does. The Bible tells us every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. What does that mean? That Satan knows exactly how to get your attention. He knows what your lust is. He knows that thing that you battle with, that thing that you struggle with. He knows exactly what to bring by you to try to get your attention. He is aware of what you have in your heart. He's aware of what will stir up that old lust for the world in your heart. Hallelujah. That's why we ought to be grateful. That's why we ought to pray and seek God and thank God for a man of God that'll stand in the pulpit and point out the devil and point out the enemy and say, "There he is. Don't go that way because the enemy's that way. You may not can go there because the devil's that way. There's an enemy that way. There's a danger that way." We ought to thank God for a preacher. Hallelujah. Amos tells us about a man that fled from a lion, ran away into a bear. He ran from the bear, went into his house, leaned his hand on the wall of the clay, and got bit by a snake in his house. What he wouldn't have given for somebody to have been there with him in the house and say, "Don't put your hand on the wall. There's a snake in the house." Hey, man, that's why I want to encourage the preacher. Preach on. Hey, if you got to come down my row and you got to take out something I love, something that I've been doing, do it. If it's what it takes for me to get to heaven, if you got to trim my tree a little bit, Brother John, if you got to do what, if you got to hurt me, if you got to cut me a little bit because it's what I need to make it to heaven, do it. Do it for my sake. Don't hold back because you're afraid of offending me, but preach what I need to hear. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when the pastor's mowing down your row, he's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to show you where the enemy is. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the men of the camp, they begin to explain who Goliath was to David. They said he's a giant. Saul was head and shoulders above every man in Israel. Saul was a tall man. Nobody stood taller than his shoulders. And yet Saul was shaking in his boots because he didn't want to have to go out and face Goliath because Goliath was bigger than he was. Most commentaries I read said that he was carrying somewhere in the neighborhood of 175 pounds of armor on him. His spearhead alone weighed 20 pounds. He was a giant of a man. Twice a day, he would come out and defy the armies of the living God. Twice a day, he would step out and make fun of them and humiliate them. Twice a day, they would be embarrassed in front of their enemy. Twice a day, he made them look like fools. Twice a day, he made them look like cowards. He was a mighty man. He was a mighty man. And so they begin to tell David, "David, you better go on back to the house, son. You don't want to be here. Goliath is challenging us, and there's nobody got the guts to go fight him because I know I don't stand a chance on the battlefield against Goliath. He's strong. He's took down bigger men than I am. He's big. He's tall. He's mighty. There's no way you could beat him. So just go on back to the house, David. Just get out of here." But David said, "No, I can't go back to the house. There's a man over there blaspheming and defying the living God of Israel. And somebody ought to do something about it." Woo. Is there not a cause? Exactly. David began to tell him, "I want to go fight him. I'll go face him. I'll go fight him." And they said, "You're crazy. But if you're going to, let's go talk to Saul." So they took him to Saul, and Saul began to talk to him. And Saul said, "You're not able. Forget the size difference. Don't even do that. Put that aside. He's a giant, and David's a lad. But let's talk about the experience." Here, David was just a young man. He was just a ruddy youth. Goliath had been a man of war from his youth. If they'd been the same size, Goliath still should have beat him because Goliath knew what he was doing. He'd killed men before. He'd been in the battle before. This wasn't something new to Goliath. He was a man of war. And so there's really no reason that David should have had any confidence. And Saul began to tell him, don't even try it, David. I appreciate your confidence. I appreciate your valor, but don't even try to go fight this man. But David said, wait a minute. Now, it may look like to you that I don't have any experience, but let me tell you a little story. And so the first thing I want to talk to you about that David knew is David knew where he had been. He remembered where he had come from. Amen. David began to tell him a story about how that one day he was out with the sheep. Hey, one day he was out there on the hillside and he heard a noise and he looked around and a bear had a hold of one of his sheep. And he said, hey, you're not getting one of my sheep. And he went over and he ripped it apart and killed the bear. And another time he heard a noise and it was a lion attacking his sheep. And he went over and through the power of God, he killed the lion. David looked at Saul and said, I may not look like much to you. You may not believe that I've fought in a battle, but I've been in the struggle before and I come through victorious. Woo, hallelujah. I fought the battle before and I come out on the other side rejoicing in the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man, I may not look like much to you. I ain't much, I'll tell you. But I didn't get here tonight without fighting a few battles and coming out on top by the help and the grace of God. Amen. I thought about Brother Tim the other night. He was passing that microphone around. All them people in here shouting out hallelujah. I looked at every single one of them. I thought, there is a testimony, and there's a testimony, and there's a testimony of somebody that was down but got back up. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody that shouldn't be here. Somebody that ought to be in hell, burning for eternity. But somehow, thanks be unto the grace of God, they were made overcomers. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man. Sometimes you got to look back at where you've been. Hey, man. I'm not talking about dwell on the past and think about all the sins and all the failures. But sometimes you gotta look back at where you come from. Sean, man, he was talking right down what I was wanting to preach. He said every time he gets up, he talks about, tell it again. Tell it the next time you get up. It don't bother me. I like hearing about what the Lord can do for somebody when they're in trouble. Woo, hallelujah. I like hearing what God can do for somebody when they didn't know if they was gonna make it. They didn't know if they was gonna come out on the other side. But thanks be unto God, in the middle of their struggle, the Lord reached right down and brought them out. That's a testimony to hang on to. Woo. Paul told Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. How are you going to stir up the gift of God? By remembrance. How are you going to get what you used to have, or even better than what you used to have? By remembering where you come from. Glory be to God. Peter said, 2 Peter said, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Amen. The psalmist said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Glory be to God. There have been times I messed up. There have been times I fell down. There have been times it was my fault. But thanks be unto God, I came out of it by the help and the grace of God. And this time when I'm in the struggle, this time when I'm in the battle, I can look back at that time that I made it then, and it gives me confidence going forward that I can make it through the valley. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, man, the devil wants to steal your testimony. Believe it. The devil wants to steal your testimony. He'd like for you to hush and not tell about that time that you were sick and the Lord raised you up. He'd like you to hush and not tell about that time that you messed up, but the Lord brought you back. Amen. The devil would like for you to hush and not tell how far down in sin you were, and the Lord still lifted you out. The devil would like for you to hush and stay silent. He'd like for you to shut up. He don't like it when the people of God begin to talk about where God brought them from, because we're made overcomers by the
word of our testimony. Glory be to God. When we begin to talk about where God brought us from, it begins to give us confidence that if I made it then, I can make it now. And it gives somebody else confidence to say, if they made it, then I can make it. I remember where I was. Amen, amen. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Don't worry about it. Tell it again. Tell it again. Tell it, if for no other reason, tend to smack the devil in the face with it one more time. Woo! I'll tell you what, I'd like to get up every time and give the devil a big old black eye when he remembers that time that he thought he had me, Brother Sean. He remembers that time he thought he had me, but I sure got away. Glory be to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know where I've been. As I look back over my life, the old song says, and I think things all over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. Glory be to God. You've got a testimony. Amen. This church has a testimony of the rejoicing, saving power of God. David looked at him and said, I may not look like much to you, but I've been through some things. I've been through some things. I didn't get here on my own. I didn't get here without some help from God. I've come through the valley, and I got here with his grace. Number two, David knew where he'd been.
Yes, sir.
But he wasn't spending all his time looking backwards. He also had a clear vision of where he was heading. He knew where he'd been, and he knew where he was going. Hallelujah. This is simple preaching. It's just simple. Amen. Saul said, won't you wear some of this armor? Put this armor on. Won't you protect yourself with this armor? But David said, I ain't got time for that altar, for that armor. I've not tested that armor. I don't know what kind of armor that really is. And so I've got to go with what I know. He went out and he gathered five smooth stones. Now the Bible tells us five of them. Goliath had four brothers, and he knew that there may come a day he needed all five of them. This was for total victory in God. But David put aside that armor and he went and gathered those smooth stones. Now some people may have looked at him and said, David, you're crazy. Why in the world you're fixing to enter into the battle and you laid aside armor and you went and got some stones. What in the world are you doing? But David knew where he was going. He had the vision of what was going to happen. Amen. My Bible tells me that where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. And in this day and hour, when the world is attacking us on every side, when the devil is against us at every turn, we need some people with a clear vision of where they are going and a made up mind. When the enemy is attacking, we don't have time to mess around, wonder what we're going to do, Brother Clay. When the enemy is against us, we don't have time running around, rubbing our hands together, worrying and fretting and doubting. Amen. We have to know what we're going to do. We got to fight the battle in these last days, and it's going to take somebody that knows where they are headed. Amen. They got a clear picture of what is going to happen in their life. They may not know the enemy that's going to come against them. They may not know the trial that they're going to enter, but they know that they are going through. Whatever it is, I'm going through. Whatever I gotta face, I'm gonna make it. Why am I gonna make it? Because I made it before, and with the help and grace of God, I'm gonna make it again.
Yes, sir.
Woo. David walked out on the battlefield, no armor, five smooth stones and a sling. Goliath saw him. Bible tells us he began to laugh at him. He began to mock him. He began to tell David what he was going to do to David. Hey, amen. He began to tell David, here's what I'm going to do to you, David. Hey, amen. He said, come to me. I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Goliath was telling David, here's what's going to happen to you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. I was studying, praying about this message. I feel like the devil's been talking to some people in the Bonhoeffer church and telling them what he's going to do to them. And you've been listening to what the devil's been saying. He's been telling you you're going down. He's been telling you you're going to fail. He's been telling you you can't make it. You've been praying and struggling and fighting. He's been telling you that you're a hypocrite. He's been telling you that you're going to go and you're going to fall again. He's been telling people all kind of things. But I'll tell you what I felt like the Lord began to deal with me about was that the devil has talked long enough. Woo! The devil has talked long enough. It's time that he shut up, if that's all right to say that. It's time that he hushed and that the church started talking. Is that okay? It's time that we started saying what we're going to do. David began to talk to him. He said, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. What happened? The dynamic of the battle changed when David started talking back and telling the devil, no, you're not going to kill me. I'm going to be victorious over you. Glory be to God. I wish some people would stop listening to the devil. And the next time he comes around and starts talking defeat and starts talking about how you're going to go down, that you step up and say, no, I'm not going to be the one that falls. You're going to be the one that falls. There's a day of reckoning coming from you, devil. I'm going to be victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knew where he'd been. He knew where he was going to victory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Finally, I'm just about through. I'm just about done. The third thing that he knew, David knew who was on his side. Hallelujah. Amen. He knew where he'd been, Brother Bruce. He knew what was going to happen. He had already decided that the Lord was going to help him win this battle. And why was he so confident? Here is what he knew more than anything else. This was what he was relying on more than anything else. He knew who was on his side. Verse number 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Glory be to God. How am I going to make it through this trial? How am I going to make it through this battle? I feel like they're attacking me on every side. How in the world am I going to make it? I'm going to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. Woo! Hallelujah. I may be in this struggle. I may be battling. I may wake up in the morning and I may dread the day ahead, but I know I am confident in one thing, and that is I will come out on the other side victorious by the help and the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, glory, hallelujah, everybody that saw you in the battle is going to have to step back and say they couldn't have made it for any other reason than the Lord was on their side. There was no hope. There's no way they should have made it, but the Lord was on their side. Hallelujah. Amen. Why in the world do we walk around like God's not interested in our problems? He is interested in our struggle. He's interested in our battles, and he is on our side. Glory be to God. The psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Amen. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that when David finished talking, something he said must have really upset Goliath. I don't know what part it was, but something, maybe it was all of it together. Goliath got upset. The Bible said that he rose up to meet David. Now, I read one commentary that said that David knew he was going to win the battle because David was a fighter who was, he was a fast man. You know, he was fast. And he knew that if Goliath come after him, he could run away from him. And he would just, he was going to attack him from a distance. And wherever Goliath, if Goliath took off running, David could outrun him. But that's exactly right. That was not the case. I don't believe it for a minute, because if you read the Bible, it says, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the Philistines. Amen. He didn't just, David didn't go running away from Goliath and try to throw a stone at him while he's running away. But the Bible said that he got up and he ran right toward him. Glory be to God. Everybody that was standing back looking, when Goliath got up and began to shake himself and get ready to attack, I can just imagine that army of Israel sitting back and wondering, what's David fixing to do now? I bet he's fixing to take off running. And sure enough, he took off running, but he ran in the wrong direction from what they thought he was going to go, because he ran straight at the enemy. Hallelujah. I was praying about this message. I was praying, asking the Lord to help me. I begin to say, Lord, would you let some people come out running? Would you let some people that's been in a battle, that's been struggling, get some confidence from where they've been and where they're going and who's on their side, and come out running toward the enemy? Yeah. Woo, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hey, man, David, what are you doing? David, what are you doing? I believe he's feeling the Holy Ghost moving on him. I don't know how exactly it was in the Old Testament, but there was a spirit moving on David, that spirit of the Lord that moved on him when the lion was there and when the bear was there. He felt that same old spirit get on him, and David got up and he started running toward the enemy. What's he doing? What's he doing? He's about to win the victory. What's he doing? He's about to win the battle for Israel. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. The world may look at us. People may look at you and wonder, what in the world are they doing, Tyler? What are they doing? They're about to win the battle. Glory be to God. They're about to get that breakthrough that they've been needing. What are they doing? They're about to get the victory. Glory be to God. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hey, woo, hallelujah. It may look crazy to you. It may look crazy to me. I don't know. You may wonder what in the world I'm doing. But if you don't understand, I'm trying to win the battle. Glory be to God. I'm fixing to win this thing. The devil has triumphed long enough. Glory be to God. He's held me down long enough. I'm coming out running. I'm coming out running for the breakthrough that I've been needing. Woo! Oh, glory be to God. Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost. I was talking to somebody the other day. I know it may sound crazy. I know it may not sound. We've been through some things. All of us have. We've been through some things. We've been battling. And there's no sense in hiding. There's no reason in saying we hadn't. There's been people that's been struggling. I'll tell you, I've been struggling. I've been in a battle. I've been through some things. I'll tell you what I began to pray about. In the middle of all this stuff, I begin to feel like the Holy Ghost been dealing with me, that we're just on the edge of a breakthrough. I mean, just on the edge. Hey, you can come up with 1,000 reasons why it can't happen. You can come up with 1,000,000 reasons and 1,000,000 facts that seem to dispute the fact that there's going to be a breakthrough in the Bondholders Church. But I'll tell you one thing that does away with everything. Who is on our side? God in heaven. Glory be to God. Is the Holy Ghost among us? Yes, he is. Is the Spirit of God dwelling among us? Yes, he is. I tell you what I believe is all that's holding us back. The only thing that's holding us back is for some people to get the confidence to come out shouting. I said some people to get the confidence to come out running and say, I've been down too long. I've struggled too long. I'm not going to go another day listening to the enemy, but I'm going to start telling him what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Stand all over the house. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Woo!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Woo! I'm sorry. You call me just a young kid who's full of youth or exuberance or whatever you want to call it. But man, I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to do something in this place. I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to move for some people in this place. Glory be to God. What we need is for some people to get confident again in the God that they're serving. That's all. I believe that's all that's lacking is this faith in God. This faith in God that says, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what my situation is. I'm going to do the thing that I know to do, and that is cry out to God. Amen. You know why? Because he's able. Hallelujah. He is able. Glory be to God. We've lost that confidence in God that he's able. We're looking around to men for the solution. We're looking to ourselves for the solution. We're looking over here for the solution. We're looking over there, but that's not the answer. The answer is in one place, and that is an earnest cry to God. That's a cry full of faith. It's not, hallelujah, glory be to God. It's not a cry that says, Lord, if you can. It's not a cry that says, Lord, if you would. It's a cry that says, Lord, I'm believing that you will. Oh, hallelujah. It's a cry that says, I believe in you. I know you're going to do it. Deliver me from this bondage. Hallelujah. 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 Father, oh God, oh God, I come before you tonight, Lord, asking you to meet us at this altar. Oh God, I know you gave me this message. Oh God, I felt you while I was preaching it, Lord. God, you're right here in the midst of us, Lord. Your delivering power is able, God. Oh God, I'm asking you tonight, oh God, to come down among us and set some people free from that bondage they've been in. Set some people loose from the chains that's had them bound. Oh God, give us a breakthrough in this place. Lord, give us a breakthrough in this place tonight. God, break every chain of the devil, every bind of the devil, Lord. Set us free, God, from the chains of the enemy. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, hallelujah. I really don't want us to come bury our head in the altar. Is that all right? Is that all right? Hey, man. What I'd like for us to do, I don't want to get out of order. I hope it's all right. I'd like for us to come up and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt. Amen. Lift up holy hands in faith, believing that the Lord is going to meet the need. Would you come? These altars are open. Come up and lift up holy hands, believing in God to do it.
God.